The Brews Line Roadshow is brought to you by Tagger Brew USA. Discover America's largest brewery trail with over 600 breweries throughout the nation. Find out more at taggerbrew.com. That's TAGABREW.com. Welcome back to the Brews Line Roadshow podcast for our spring beer break. But today we're going to do something a little different. We're not going to talk a whole lot about beer, but we are going to talk about the Botanical Brewing Company. And I'm here with James today. Say hello, James.
Hey, guys.
So, James, I really wanted to thank you guys. This is a little bit different from our normal brewery podcast, but tell me the story and the history of Botanical Brewing.
So the concept came about when one of the two creators of Cava Culture was at a bar, and she didn't drink alcohol, and she wanted Cava or Kratom, something that she could drink, and she was just like, we need to have what we do out across the country, because there's a lot of other people who don't actually, you know, invite, or maybe they don't, you know, they're the designated driver. So she just said, hey, we need to do this. And it took her about a year and a half to finally get it, when they found the right person to actually make it happen, which was me, thankfully. I mean, I'm happy to be doing what I'm doing. So it came about that I met Caroline, and then one day I met Jacqueline, and they just seemed to think that I was the person that could figure this out and make it happen for them. So we came together and basically made it happen. We started in the back of our Fort Myers Beach Cava Culture, and it was about a 10 by 10 space. I did everything by hand, mixed every batch, every keg was made by hand. There was no tanks. It was all single keg production. So we'd make 6 of one flavor, we put it into forced carbonation, allowed the settling to happen, all that, pump off the sediment, allow it to settle again, pump it off, and then we'd send them out to our stores. We actually started it just before COVID hit too.
Yeah, so, great timing, right?
Yeah, so it definitely was rough, but you know, as soon as COVID came, you know, off, everything was open again. We just really hit the ground running. We already had it set up, and it exploded.
So I'm looking over at the at some of the writings on the wall here, and I see no buzz, or no booze, just buzz, which those two usually go together.
Yes.
So explain some of the products that you guys make, and this whole idea of plant buzz. A lot of folks, I'm sure, are unfamiliar with it.
Absolutely. So the alcohol alternative market is a really big market. It's an emerging market. And a lot of people that still enjoy alcohol enjoy the products that we supply too, because it's really having choices throughout the week. It's having, you know, different kinds of things. So Cava is a root from a plant that comes from the Pacific Islands, and basically it gives you a really relaxing feeling while also still making you feel social. So it basically makes you want to talk and enjoy the times with your friends, but still be relaxed, kind of like what alcohol does for a lot of people.
Right.
It hits the same receptors and all that. Kratom is a little bit different. It can have many different effects, from energy, mood, relaxation. Really, it can be any different effect depending upon what kind of strain it is. But then we have everything else from, you know, Delta 8, Delta 9, which a lot of people are familiar with those forms of THC, hemp-derived THC. And then our new one is Kana. Kana is an empathogen. It's a beautiful compound from South Africa. And it basically helps you to feel empathy towards everything. You really just absolutely love everything when you have a little bit of Kana, or it can be relaxing if you have the more relaxing form of Kana.
You started out, you're really raw doing these small batches. Tell me how you approach creating new beverages, new flavors. Where does that creative influence come from? And what are some of the techniques that you use in making these beverages?
So honestly, I just kind of think about different ideas of what sounds good out there. Things that, not just that I would like, but things that other people enjoy. And not just what they enjoy drinking, but, you know, foods in general. One of our biggest sellers is lemon pound cake, and that's a Delta 9. So literally, we were able to create lemon pound cake in a can. You could taste the pastry, you could taste the lemon, you could taste the icing even on the top of it. It just, you know, you have to have an open mind to different kinds of flavors. And it's the same thing with the brewing world, you know. They think about something wild and extravagant and be like, I'm going to make this happen. And you just got to set your eyes on the goal and think about what you need to do. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. We've been lucky enough that we hit the nail on the head a lot more often than not.
That's great. So talk about how the process, the brewing process, is different from, say, what we see in the beer business. You know, a lot of our listeners are very familiar with how beer is made. So tell us how these beverages are made.
Absolutely. So, you know, with the regular beer industry, you guys have like mash tun, lauters, all that stuff, sparging. We don't have any of that. It's closer to the brewing of a tea. So we have our tea bags that go through a preparation that we actually make ourselves. So we get these large mesh bags in and we craft these ourselves, fill them with the product. We treat them in a special process, which is similar to the preparation of grain for a brewing process. And then it goes through its specific time and temperature steep, which is, again, similar to the beer process, but a little bit different because we don't have to hit the potentials of certain sugars. We're just trying to create the depth of flavor and the depth of alkaloids that are in that compound. Once that's achieved, we go ahead and stop that process. We pull out the tea just like you would pull it off the grain, and we set it into the mixing tank. We add the rest of our ingredients, which we only use the highest quality of stuff here. It goes through the mixing, goes through a full filtration from 200 micron all the way down to 0.5 through the heat exchanger into the tank, and it's ready to carbonate.
That's cool. That's interesting. How we were talking with a brewer the other day about the history of fermentation and the history of brewing and how it's gone back way, way to the Egyptian days.
Yeah, so it's been around for a minute.
Yeah, so it's interesting how many different twists people have in making beverages. Not, you know, non-alcoholic, alcoholic, non-buzz, buzz, all those different types.
Yeah.
So, as far as your core values and your mission statement, and I know we chatted a little bit about that, but lay it on me, my man.
So our main core value here at Botanical Brewing Company is get shit done. We look at what we have to do and we attack it head on. We do whatever we need to do to put out the best product and get shit done. Some of our other core values are to create a quality product that is sustainable for our environment. We don't like to put out stuff that's going to have a lot of a byproduct or any negative effects to the people consuming it or to the creation of it for our environment around us. We're very eco-conscious with what we do. The packaging that our materials comes in, anything like that, is very important to us because we have to live in this planet for our whole lives and then so the generation, so forth. And we want to make sure that we're doing things the right way for everybody and for everything around us. So that's our main core values is to get shit done and then also to take care of our people. We like to make sure that our employees are living a good life to be able to take care of their families. So as they show up, they learn, they figure out what they want to do in this. We raise them up as best as we can and we make sure that they live a good life.
That's great. Talk a little bit more about the people and selecting your team members. You know, obviously the company's growing, more and more people coming on. What's that process for you in finding the right people?
So it's a lot more different than the beer industry, because with the beer industry, you're really looking for people that have brewing experience. It's very important that you have brewing experience because that's a very specific craft. With what we do, there is no background to it. You know, like brewing has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. We started this, the concept of it, less than 5 years ago. So we created the process. We were basically the first ones to do what we do. So we bring people on that have no experience, that just have a drive and a will to learn and the ability to actually pick it up and run with it. And as long as they show that and they keep showing up, we give them the shot. I don't discriminate against anybody's background or, you know, what they can or can't do coming in. I care about what you can or can't do, you know, when you actually show up and you apply yourself. So really with us, the sky is the limit. If you come in and you want to learn and you want a future for yourself, we're going to make it happen.
So you talked a little bit about the quality products and the quality ingredients. How do you balance that quality as you continue to grow in production with the quantity of getting the quantity, or as you say, getting the shit done, and getting it done in a quality manner and getting more and more of it done as you continue to grow? So talk about that.
Yeah. So we're constantly looking for the best of the quality of products in the industry, dealing with suppliers. We do have some very steady chains of supply, but as well as I'm constantly researching, doing biohacking and understanding how the ingredients are metabolizing in the body, how they're affecting the people, because you might look at it up front and say, hey, this has a great effect, but then you look at it on the back end, be like, hey, maybe I don't like the secondary effects. So we will look at that and make sure our quality is going in to the product, so it's also coming out for the people at the best product possible. But really, I mean, when it comes to finding our materials, we just do our due diligence. We ask for COAs on everything that we get right up front. And if it doesn't meet our standards, if it doesn't basically, you know, come from somewhere that we trust, we don't get it. If it doesn't have a COA, we don't buy it, because we need to know where it's from, what's in it, and that we're basically passing along the best possible ingredients to our consumers. Because honestly, at the end of the day, without them, we don't have anything.
Right. Right. Yeah. If you don't have people to buy the product, then we're out of business. As people come into your, we started off in the tap room. As people come into the tap room, what should they expect when they walk into your tap room next door?
So, I mean, right off the bat, if it's their first time or if they've been here every single day of the week, they're going to see a smiling face and a welcome through the door. A lot of people come through the door, though, seeing brewing company, and they say, hey, wait, I expected beer, but it's not. And our kava tenders, which are just like your bartenders, your beer tenders, they're really ready and willing to explain what it is. And a lot of people actually are very open and receptive to it. And I'd say at least 90% of them try it out, and then some of them might stay for that day, but most of them come back within the week and they actually sit down and experience it. Because some people are expecting, hey, I wanted a beer, I saw brewing, but a lot of people actually end up changing up their habits. Like, I didn't realize that we had options, you know, because I drink beer every once in a while. I drink my whiskey every once in a while. I still like my diversity. I'm all about flavor, but I know after about 3 or 4 drinks, you know, it doesn't sit as well with me. Once I pass 40, it doesn't metabolize too easy. And, you know, that's why I like what we have for my regular basis. And that's what a lot of people have found. So it's just basically they come in and they find that option that they have. And it's not to eliminate something else. It's just to kind of broaden the horizon.
Now, again, a relatively new concept in the I guess what I'd call the mass beverage industry. How do you market? What are some of the ways you guys market? I mean, you got a beautiful website. I took a look at that, but how are you getting the word out?
Absolutely. So the really cool thing is there's this explosion right now in the alcohol alternative industry. Everywhere you look, there's another company popping up, and I welcome it, because the more companies that pop up as alcohol alternatives, the more that Kava and Kratom and all these other alcohol alternatives are out there on the market, the more education and the more people seek it out. So in itself, it kind of markets itself, you know, because really the more people talk about it and the more it explodes, it really kind of markets itself. But we do, you know, have our Facebook page, we have our website, our Instagram, all of our social media accounts, and we have a marketing department, we have a social media department, and, you know, we have basically our entire team that backs that up to get content and to put it out there. We try to grow as grassroots as possible. You know, still, you've got to throw out ads here and there to make sure you're reaching a new audience. So we do that occasionally, but most of our stuff is you might have came into one of our bars. You tried it out, and you're like, wow, I actually woke up and my body was a little bit looser today. I'm not as tense in the neck. And you told one of your friends. That's how a lot of it happens. Then they bring in one of their friends, and they bring in their friends. And next thing you know, they're all hanging out at the tap room instead of wherever they used to. And it's really cool to be able to see it happen like that, because it's this, you know, new camaraderie, a new thing that they've found, and this excitement on their face when, you know, a bunch of people are introduced from one friend to this new compound, this new product that they didn't realize was there before. So that's how a lot of it happens. Is honestly, it's word of mouth, grassroots.
A lot of organic,
but there is that social media aspect to it. There is a little bit of the rest of the marketing, because you got to have that. You have to reach new people. But really, the way that the beverage industry is exploding right now, it almost kind of does it itself.
We spoke a little bit earlier about your background. I'm going to have you get into a little bit of that. As people come down to Southwest Florida, tell me a little bit about Southwest Florida, the area you serve, Many people come down here and know it, but many people don't. So give me a little bit about the community.
So Southwest Florida is a really beautiful area. You know, a lot of people kind of like bash on it, like, oh, Florida, Florida. But really, this area is really nice. Cape Coral has one of the lowest crime rates for the state, especially when it comes to like violent crime. So it's really a beautiful area for, you know, being able to not worry about, you know, things happening or anything like that. We have beaches everywhere. It's a beautiful area for that. Sanibel is one of the, you know, most beautiful beaches. It's right up the road. Boca Grande's not too far, and then Siesta Key's just a little bit north of there. So this whole area is just surrounded by award-winning beaches, which is great. But it's the people in this area. They come from everywhere, and they've created like the new melting pot. We have people that move here from everywhere, from Indiana, Ohio, out from California, New York, and they come to Florida because, you know, they wanted a different environment, a little change of pace. And people just fall in love with it here. It's almost kind of like living in a tropical paradise, but you're still in the States.
Yeah, it's a great place. I've been coming to visit for several years, and you'll find me here quite a bit in January, February, and March.
I don't blame you.
Now, you spent some time in my area. You spent some time in northern Indiana and Michigan. Tell me about that little journey and what brought you back to Florida.
Well, thankfully, I'm all thawed out from that. You know, it was definitely, it was just a change of pace. I went up there because my older brother was up there, and I just wanted to experience something different. I was in my early 20s, and I ended up meeting my ex-wife, went through that whole thing, and, you know, I spent about 7-8 years in Indiana, and then we decided to move back this way and take over my brother's company because he ended up moving back to Florida. But while I was in Indiana, I learned a lot of stuff, honestly. It was a really kind of an eye-opening experience. I became a master butcher. I, you know, got into farming, actually. It was really interesting, the variety of things that I got to learn up there versus down here in Florida. You wouldn't really become a traditional butcher in Florida as easily as you would up in Indiana. You know, they taught me how to break down a hind quarter, how to break down a front quarter. And I mean, this is stuff that you don't really see anymore in most of the United States, unless you actually work in like a slaughterhouse or something like that. And it was really cool to do that. I had my own farm for a while. I did that whole thing. And this is when I actually got into like beer brewing and winemaking and distillation. And, you know, it kind of piqued my interest. That kind of started me down the path of creating things and got into mixology and just basically between working with the whole brewing and fermentation and then mixology. It kind of all melted together when this opportunity arose. It worked out well.
So butcher shop to botanicals, huh?
Yeah.
What are some of the goals and future plans for Botanical Brewing?
So currently we produce, our production area, including the warehouse, is about 3,000 square feet. So it's not very big, but because of the way we produce, we can produce a lot faster because a product can be made and produced and finished that day. We produce 4 batches in a day here, 7-barrel tanks, and we are reaching capacity already, even with what we do there. We're actually bringing on night crews and weekend crews, so that way we can actually expand our canning and our kegging days. We produce quite a bit. We make and finish at least 8 7-barrel batches per week. And we only have 6 fermenter tanks, but we don't ferment. So we basically filter, fill, carbonate, and empty. Currently, though, we're looking for around 30,000 square feet. We're ready to expand.
So 10 times the size.
10 times the size. We're ready to expand. We have the plan layout in place. All the equipment is already searched and ready to purchase. We're just basically looking for a location right now. Not sure where it's going to be. Could be here in Florida. Could be up somewhere in North Carolina, South Carolina. If anybody out there has a location they want to send me, please.
Well, we'll make sure the podcast gets to some economic development people, get some incentives for you.
Hey, I will absolutely welcome that because we are ready to grow. And, you know, I'd love to be able to hop over to a new area.
Speaking of areas, other than some of the bars, and the bars are called Cava Lounges?
Cava Bars, yes.
Cava Bars. Other than the Cava Bars, where are they located, and where else can people get the products?
So we have Cava Bars that are ours anywhere from Key West all the way up to Ohio. We have one opening up there. We actually have some out west in Texas as well. But the most of our Cava Culture Cava bars are here in Southwest Florida. But like I said, we have Key West, we have Naples, Bonita, going all the way up to Clearwater, Orlando. That's the concentration of them. A nice little line going up the west coast of Florida. But we do have stuff popping up on the east coast of Florida. But really, you can find Cava bars popping up all around the country. We market to a lot of Cava bars because they like to carry a variety of different things, not just their drinks that they make there, but they like to carry RTD drinks. You know, it's not, if you have one brewery, they're not closed off most of the time to just their beer. So they will, you know, host guest taps. People will do the same thing with ours. But you can also find us in grocery stores, vape shops, smoke shops, really anywhere. We're in a few other breweries, restaurants, anywhere that sells a beverage. We market to and we typically get into.
Now, are you in national distribution or
not yet? That's what the next phase is for the facility. So once
we've got to have enough product to go that direction.
Yeah, you got to keep up with the supply. They definitely take a lot more than we can currently supply. You know, I mean, we're making between 6 and 10 pallets a week of cans, but we need to be able to supply them about 24 pallets per week when you go into national distribution. So we need that bigger space. We need
those 60, bigger people, bigger opportunity.
20 barrel tanks.
James, when you're not here getting shit done, what else do you do for fun?
So I'm really kind of a nerd, honestly. I love the outdoors, and I love to go explore new places. Finally just got my passport, so I'm going to be popping around outside the country. But honestly, I go up to the Carolinas and to Georgia a lot and go mining for different gemstones. So I've been big into ruby mining last year. Looking for a few new places to do some amethyst and gold mining. But I do a lot of research on my own because I have a couple other interests and companies that I'm setting up because I want to expand the market of which what we're able to do here through secondary companies. I'm big into mental health and the advocacy and awareness of mental health. So the companies that I'm creating, which I can't really talk too much about because they're emerging markets that are still in their testing phases in certain states, you know, they have a high potential to help a lot of people. So, you know, that's what I do. I like to geek out and find gems, go fossil hunting, stuff like that. But I'm also big in helping my fellow man. I know what it's like to be down in the trenches, down in the dark holes, and it's not fun to be down there. So I try to do my best to help to research and find new healthy ways to be able to help and address mental health.
So speaking of different initiatives and different things you're involved in, what are some of the things you do here in the community?
We do as much give back as we can. Until recently, I loved to volunteer at food pantries. That was always my thing. Just basically hanging out with one of my friends that was running it and giving, you know, the people their food rations that they were coming in for each week. And honestly, I would always slip them a little bit extra. You know, I mean, you got to take care of people. It's really interesting meeting different people from different walks of life. And, you know, trying to do your best to help people that are struggling a little bit. That was a lot of fun doing that. I'm currently looking for a new one myself. I might end up going back to a different form of food pantry. I might go to one of the food pantry distribution centers to help out there. But, you know, really just something to kind of give back to the community on a regular basis. The other option is working with the animal shelters. I am a sucker for dogs. If I had a big piece of land, I would probably just go into a rescue and take all the dogs and take them out to my property. So that might be the next possible thing that we do. Honestly, a lot of times Botanical is about backing it up when it comes to that. Between that and then actually the only reason I have this long hair is we're growing it out to donate it. Me and actually about 4 of my employees are all growing out our hair.
Well, that looks pretty stylish anyway.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, we've got one last question that I try to ask every place I visit.
Okay.
What drink should we try today?
I mean, honestly, our number one seller, I would say, is Tiki Apple. It's real clean, crisp. It's a good mood boost without adjusting your day too far. So I think we should pop next door to the tap room and try that one out.
All right. All right, we got the Tiki Apple out. James, tell me a little bit about what went into making it, and then we'll sample it.
So Tiki Apple is one of our OG flavors. It's been around for quite a while. It is infused with green kratom, so it's going to be a mood booster, basically just a mild euphoria, little bit of, you know, just an elevated mood kind of situation. It is mostly an apple flavor with a light touch of lemon and a little bit of tartness, so it's kind of like a sour apple kind of flavor. It is our number one selling flavor, whether it's in can or on tap. It sells like crazy, almost 2-to-1 compared to all the rest of them, with the exception of the lemon pound cake.
Well, it smells like a apple orchard up there in Michigan we were talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's got a beautiful smell. That first little sip, when you sip it, it's going to have that little bit of a zing and that crisp apple. And it finishes with that kind of like a Sour Patch Kid kind of taste. So it's got that little bit of
that
sour.
Yeah, it kind of goes back against your tongue a little, mm-hmm. just a little tingle.
Mm-hmm. So it's got that really crisp flavor, but that really kind of almost like a clean finish to where it's got that sour, but then it doesn't leave like anything that's too much extra, but it also doesn't lay flat on the mouth, which is what I really kind of like about it.
Yeah, it's delicious. Well, James, I want to thank you for taking some time and really opening up my eyes to some other beverages around the brewing process. So, and I can tell you, I'm already ready to tell some people about it. So that whole organic word-of-mouth thing really works. So, again, I appreciate you spending time with the Brewsline Roadshow. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers.